Hi, I'm John Schrader with M2Sys Healthcare Solutions, and welcome to the next installment of our podcast series where we interview industry professionals for information, analysis, and opinions on the biggest issues that face the healthcare industry. Mac McMillan, chair of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Task Force, is our guest on the podcast today, and we invited Mac to our podcast to discuss the topic of healthcare data security, what the new changes to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act that went into effect September 23rd are, the mission of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Task Force, his definition of what privacy actually is, comments on new technology that are viable options for healthcare providers to implement as a way to protect access to sensitive patient data, and his thoughts on the increased adoption of PHI management applications such as Microsoft Health Vault. The following is a recording of our discussion with Mac McMillan, chair of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Task Force, on the topic of health data management and security. Hi, I'm John Schrader with M2Sys Healthcare Solutions, and welcome to the next installment of our podcast series where we interview industry professionals for information, analysis, and opinions on the biggest issues that face the healthcare industry. Today, our podcast is dedicated to the topic of health IT data security, and our guest is Mac McMillan, Chief Executive Officer of Synergis Tech, a firm specializing in the areas of information security and regulatory compliance in healthcare, and current chair of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Policy Task Force. Radical advancements in healthcare IT development and implementation have pushed the issue of health data security to the forefront of the collective healthcare provider mindset as they attempt to strike a balance between patient access to electronic health record protected information, or PHI, and data protection. The fact that so many healthcare IT vendors now have access to and possess protected health information necessitated shift changes in the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, which was enacted to establish ground rules for the privacy protection of individually identifiable health information. We invited Mac McMillan to our podcast today to discuss what these new changes are and defining their parameters, the mission of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Task Force, his definition of what privacy actually is, comments on new technology that are viable options for healthcare providers to implement as a way to protect access to sensitive patient data, and his thoughts on the increased adoption of PHI management applications such as Microsoft Health Vault. Mac, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
As I mentioned, Mac is co-founder and CEO of Synergis Tech, Inc., a firm specializing in the areas of information security and regulatory compliance in healthcare. For more information on the company, please visit their website at www.synergistech.com. That's CYNERGISTECH.com. Mac is also the current chair of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Policy Task Force and was recognized in 2012 as a HIMSS Fellow. Mac brings over 30 years of combined intelligence, security countermeasures, and consulting experience to his position from both government and private sector positions. He has worked in the healthcare industry since his retirement from the federal government in 2000 and has contributed regularly to organizations such as HIMSS, HCCA, AHIA, AHIMA, AAHSA, HFMA, and AHLA, and contributes regularly to the thought leadership around data security in healthcare. He served as Director of Security for two separate defense agencies and sat on numerous interagency intelligence and security countermeasures committees while serving in the U.S. government. Mac is the former chair of the HIMSS Information Systems Security Working Group and the HIMSS Privacy and Security Committee. He sits on the HIT Exchange and HC Pro Editorial Advisory Boards, as well as the Health Tech Industry Advisory Board. He has contributed to more than 300 articles and postings in healthcare IT magazines, healthcare IT blogs, and other healthcare newsletters. He presents regularly at conferences and other events and was a contributing author to the HIMSS book, Information Security in Healthcare, Managing Risk. Mac holds a Master of Arts degree in National Security and Strategic Studies from the U.S. Naval War College and a Bachelor of Science degree in Education from Texas A&M University. He is a graduate of the Senior Officials in National Security Program at the JF Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, and a 1993-94 Excellence in Government Fellow. He is retired from the U.S. Marine Corps. Let's jump into the first question for Mac. Mac, can you please describe the mission of the HIMSS Privacy and Security Task Force and how it impacts data security in healthcare, and also comment on how your experience in the government sector helped you as chair of the task force?
Sure. So first of all, the Policy Task Force, which is one of many volunteer organizations under the HIMSS umbrella of committees and work groups, if you will. Policy Task Force, the Security Policy Task Force, actually comes under the Privacy and Security Committee. But the Policy Task Force primarily is purpose is to review policy issues affecting privacy and security in healthcare, you know, that arise from either new legislation, new regulations, new rules, et cetera. The task force also supports the review process that HIMSS goes through from an official perspective in terms of their responses to new legislation or new rules. So there's a quite elaborate process that HIMSS goes through in garnering the inputs from their volunteer members from across the 15 committees that they have and all of the work groups and task forces. Those come in, a draft is put together, my task force then receives that draft, and we have the responsibility for reviewing that draft, making sure that it is consistent with the positions that HIMSS has taken with respect to its goals and whatnot, and making recommendations with respect to that, and then getting it back to the government committee, who ultimately has responsibility for finalizing it and getting it up to the board to sign, and back to the government in terms of the HIMSS final official position. With respect to my position or my experience from the government and how that's translated, I think it's helped quite a bit because having spent many years in the federal government managing information security and being familiar with how the federal government works in terms of regulation and directives and rules and whatnot and standards has helped me with the translation between that's now affecting healthcare. And so it's one of the things that I've always strived to do, working with him when I was chairing the security committee and security work group and now the task force, is I've always tried to recruit a wide array of membership from not only the provider side, but the vendor side, as well as folks out of the government to participate in those groups and in that dialogue, because I think that it makes for a much richer and a much more a better product, if you will, in terms of what comes out of the group. And I think we have a good cross section of folks in the task force today, and some folks that are very committed to what we're doing. And I'm just really proud to be part of the HIMSS system, because I think they do a good job in trying to represent their constituents.
Thanks for the overview on that question, Mac. This Monday, September 23rd, marks the compliance deadline for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act omnibus rule, which ushers in new rules about how PHI data is maintained and protected, what changes in the relationship between business associate and provider, and also changes to data breach notifications and enforcement. Mac, can you please describe what changes go into effect with the HIPAA security rule this coming Monday, September 23rd? With the compliance deadline, and how will the relationship between the business associate and provider change?
Sure. So first of all, I try to simplify it for folks. It really, when you look at the changes that the omnibus rule represents, it really falls into one of four categories. And those categories include breach notification in terms of the process there, which is very different today than what it was previously. Business associate status in terms of how the rules actually apply to business associates and subcontractors. Privacy provisions, certain privacy provisions have undergone change, most of which was done to actually help the industry be able to do things with respect to the original privacy controls. And last but not least, significant change in enforcement as it relates to the latitude that OCR has, or the Office for Civil Rights has, with respect to going to penalty and determining what those penalties should be. With respect between business associates and covered entities. For the most part, that relationship has not changed fundamentally. What has changed, though, is how it has affected responsibilities for both those parties. So business associates are now accountable for the HIPAA security rule and those portions of the privacy rule that apply to whatever it is they're doing on behalf of the covered entities that they have contracts with. On the covered entity side, there is a greater emphasis now on vendor management in terms of doing due diligence before you contract with a particular vendor, making sure that you convey expectations with respect to privacy and security more clearly, making sure that you monitor that relationship in some fashion throughout the life of the contract, and making sure that you have provisions for dealing with things like breach notification or end of contract disposition of data or access that the contractor might have. So the relationship in terms of both of them, in terms of being contractual, in terms of it being focused on protecting patient data, has not really changed. What has changed is each of the two entities' organizations' responsibilities towards each other.
I like the fact that these new changes promote a lot more accountability and transparency, both on the provider and the business associate side. I think that's something that's, I don't want to say desperately needed in the industry, but definitely something that will lead to positive patient relations. I see accountability and transparency as kind of being the two main things that come out of that. Thanks for providing that overview for us. Let's talk for a moment about the difference between access and possession of personal health information as it affects compliance with the new HIPAA rule. There seems to be continued discussion and maybe some confusion on what actually makes a vendor a business associate under the HIPAA rule changes. Mac, can you please explain the difference between access and possession of personal health information and how it impacts compliance with the new HIPAA rule?
Sure. And you know, it's amazing that I give a lot of presentations to a lot of audiences. In fact, I gave one just yesterday to a group here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And it's amazing to me how many folks are still very confused or seem to be confused on this issue. And to me, it's fairly simple. I think the rule did a good job of clarifying what a business associate is or what makes a company or an organization a business associate. And it's really simple. If you create PHI either originally or derivatively, if you maintain it, if you transmit it, receive it, et cetera, you're a business associate. So if you have possession of the data in your system or in your environment, or if you have perpetual, you know, persistent access to the information, then you are a business associate. They also went to great lengths to be very clear in terms of defining, you know, how the conduit exemption applies, because there are a lot of folks that were confused by that as well. And you can't claim that conduit exemption unless you literally only are maintaining that data in your environment for as long as it takes the system to actually perform the transference process. So in other words, the data comes into your system, it's there for whatever time period is necessary for it to literally be transferred out, but it's not there for any other purpose or any other time period beyond that. Right, so it's literally coming in and going right back out again. And if that's happening, then you can claim that exemption. But otherwise, if you take possession of the data for any reason whatsoever, whether you're hosting it, whether you're backing it up, whether you're storing it, whatever the case may be, you are a business associate. And that's another reason why there's a little bit of confusion around whether or not the covered entity encrypts the data before they give it to the business associate. In other words, if it's encrypted in my environment and I can't actually access it, then am I not a business associate? And the answer, at least for today, is yes, you are still a business associate if you take possession of the data. And the reason for that is that business associates are responsible for the entire security rule, not just whether or not they have access to the data. So let's assume I give data to you, I encrypt it before I give it to you. Let's assume I even keep the key so that you literally cannot decrypt that data on your end. You still have a responsibility, though, to maintain the integrity around that information. You have a responsibility to back that information up. You have a responsibility to be able to recover that information, etc. So, in other words, there are other HIPAA security rule requirements that still apply to vendors who are hosting or storing systems or data for covered entities, regardless of whether or not they have access to the information or not, or regardless of whether they ever look at the information or not. So it's not, it's what makes you a business associate is not whether or not you access that information or whether or not you can access that information. It's whether or not you have possession, which then assumes that access is possible and presumes that there are other responsibilities associated with that possession.
You wrote a great post about this particular topic on the Healthcare Informatics website. I just wanted to alert folks, if they want more information or clarification on what Mac was discussing, they can visit healthcare-informatics.com/blogs/MAC-MCMILLAN. Mac wrote a blog post on August the 19th entitled, "In HIPAA Possession is 10/10 of the Law." That's an excellent overview. Thank you, Mac, and I encourage people to read that post that he wrote about this particular topic.
Thank you.
Let's turn for a moment to the issue of privacy and how it is defined in a day and age where personal digital information proliferates and societal changes regarding how people view privacy and how they use things like social media are helping to drive changes in the healthcare data management field. It seems that social changes are driving a revolution in the industry, and the reputation of people is becoming a lot more pervasive, indelible, and inescapable, in large part because of the internet. Data about individuals can be culled simply through performing a Google search and remains available indefinitely. Because of this, people can link more pieces of information to individuals, including pieces not collected through formal means. Mac, my question for you is, can you please define privacy and what it means in today's world of information overload and social media communication?
Sure. And you know, one of the interesting things about this is that this is really actually a very tough one to define today. And the reason I say that is because just as you were talking about, the social norms and the generational changes that we've seen in the workplace today. I mean, if you look at just about any business out there today, there are literally five different generations in the workforce. And what privacy means to the older generation, my generation, for instance, who are folks who are extremely reluctant to talk about anything personal, right, or things personal in their lives, people who tend not to be out there in large part on Facebook sharing every intimate detail of their lives, as opposed to some of our younger generations who, quite frankly, have a very different definition of what personal privacy is or personal space is, can share all kinds of information that, quite frankly, some of us would never share and, quite frankly, are very surprised at. And that has an impact on what the perception of privacy is. Now, what's interesting is that when you look at privacy as it relates to the law and as it relates to the HIPAA security rule, it's very black and white. Privacy as it relates to healthcare and patient information is patient information belongs to that individual, and you should only have access to it or have a right to access to it if you are part of that individual's care team or if you have a specific legitimate purpose for seeing that information in order to provide care or provide some aspect of care to that individual. And that individual has the right to determine authorization for that information to be used for other things or to be disseminated. So the definition for privacy as it relates to patient information is very consistent with the social norms that you see in many of the older generations who hold privacy of personal information very close, whereas that definition is not necessarily consistent with some of the social norms that you see in some of the younger generations who tend to look at some of these things much differently. And I think that's what causes some of the stress in the system, and I think that's what causes some of the issues, because today we have folks who are more apt to repeat things, to take photos when it's inappropriate, and not necessarily because they're trying to or that they're doing it in a malicious manner, but it's just the environment they operate in, which is not necessarily consistent with the principles around privacy. You know, privacy is very personal. It's information about you that is your information, and it's not up to you or the person who owns that information to determine who else should have that information or who should see it. And healthcare in particular has a real responsibility here that individuals who present themselves for care, for some very personal matters, the trust that exists between the caregiver and the patient is based in large part on how well that caregiver maintains the privacy of that communication and the privacy of that individual's information. And I can't think of a way to erode confidence in a relationship or in an organization quicker than not respecting the privacy of an individual's personal information.
Absolutely. Is it fair to say, Mac, that the industry's definition of privacy is constantly evolving?
I think it is. I think the social norms and the generations that we have out there in the workplace and what's going on are also evolving the definition of privacy as well. Clearly, the folks that are between 18 and 30 today have a much different definition of what privacy is than what I have. But I think from a legal perspective, it's also difficult to write a rule or to write a law that anticipates different exceptions, if you will, to a clear definition of what privacy is. And I think that's where we are, and healthcare has to understand that and has to find a way to educate all of the folks that work in their environment that regardless of how you feel about privacy, regardless of how you feel about your own personal information and what you feel comfortable sharing, that's different than what you have to do with respect to others' information.
I see. So in the industry, it's often difficult to come up with a general definition or define what privacy is because of, or come up with a blanket statement because there are a lot of generational differences in how people view privacy. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement, but like I said, what healthcare has to do is recognize that those differences exist, recognize that those differences in perception are out there, but at the same time, educate that workforce that you don't make decisions in your workday with respect to how you feel about something. You make decisions within your workday based on how the law defines privacy for the patient, which, as I said, is fairly black and white.
Okay, great. Thanks for the feedback on that question, Mac. It seems as we escalate development of tools and platforms that allow people to share electronic information specifically on their healthcare, there is a growing fear among patients that their PHI is not being adequately protected and could be vulnerable to inappropriate access and sharing by third-party providers. Mac, on the issue of fear, can you talk about how fear and fear of the unknown plays into developing policies surrounding privacy?
Sure. One of the things that I try to do is encourage folks not to make decisions or not to write policy based on fear. It is far more effective to make policy or to write policy based on what we know instead. But having said that, the fear that you alluded to with respect to users absolutely does exist out there. But I don't think it's so much the fear of the unknown as it is the fear of the known. You look at this industry or you just look at industry in general and you look at the number of breaches that occur, you look at the amount of identity theft that occurs, you look at the amount of fraud that occurs and that is reported on a regular basis. The consumer is not dumb. The consumer understands that their information is potentially at risk. And so it's not really so much fear of the unknown as it is fear of the known. And when you look at surveys that folks have run with respect to consumers, both in healthcare and other industries, and you look at the amount of confidence they have in the protection of their information as it relates, say, in individual relationships, like between them and their caregiver, they tend to have a fairly high degree of confidence. But when you ask them that same question with respect to the protection of their data or their information by an organization or the government, they have a much, much, much lower expectation of confidence with respect to protection of their information. And it's based largely on what they see in the media and what they hear. The organizations, though, need to base their policies or base their practices, if you will, on what they know in terms of what the threat is and what the risks are, what their controls environment will enable, and make smart decisions on how they write those things to alleviate to the extent possible or to mitigate the chances of those bad things happening. But yeah, there's fear. And it definitely, fear is one of those things that exists. It's really uncertainty. It's a good motivator, I hear from, I've had CIOs tell me that fear is a great motivator for making change in environments or in the organization. And so I guess in that sense, it could be a positive thing. But it typically is not a good basis for writing policy on. You need to write policy based on known fact and what you learned from your environment by virtue of doing the things that you should be doing, like conducting a risk analysis and determining where your vulnerabilities are and where the risks are, and then addressing those.
Thanks for the feedback on that question, Mac. It's a very important topic. Let's shift our discussion to some of the new technologies that are available for healthcare providers to use to help protect patient data by placing tighter security on system access and help verify a patient's identity to ensure that PHI recorded during their visit is attributed to the proper electronic health record. Mac, what new technologies do you feel are viable options for healthcare facilities to protect internal access to patient data and to verify a patient's identity?
You know, I don't really know how to answer that question as it relates to new technologies, I don't think. I think there are a lot of technologies out there that quite frankly are not used enough. But, I mean, certainly there are technologies out there that provide various levels of access control, provide more defined access control, such as biometrics, et cetera. There are obviously technologies out there that provide me the ability to do a better job in terms of registering patients so that I can more uniquely identify them. And, you know, organizations, I think, need to take advantage of that. Part of the problem that healthcare organizations have today with respect to a lot of these things is that a lot of the applications and a lot of the systems that they receive from vendors do not necessarily have security or functionality in the product from a security and a privacy perspective. And the reason for that, quite frankly, is because there are no standards around what organizations have to do to develop applications or systems that they sell to healthcare. And until we get to the point where there are some level of standards out there that organizations are device manufacturers and application vendors have to follow in terms of providing for certain functionalities, it's going to continue to be a challenge for the healthcare industry to do some of this stuff really effectively.
Mac, you touched on the use of biometrics for patient identification as well as for access control for internal hospital or healthcare facility employees to access PHI or patient data. Biometrics has strong potential to become a leading technology in patient identification and access control, but it also has a stigma attached to it by some people that it violates the patient's privacy and civil liberties. Those in the industry, though, argue that instead of violating patient privacy, it actually protects patient privacy. My question related to that for you is, do technologies such as the use of biometrics for patient ID and employee single sign-on to access patient PHI information pose a threat, or do they enhance patient privacy?
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that they typically enhance patient privacy. You know, just about any technology out there, any solution out there, if used improperly, can always lead to an unintended consequence or a negative outcome. But generally, these technologies are developed with positive purpose in mind. And if they're deployed properly, if they are explained properly to patients, I think two things. One, you can elevate their level of confidence in why you're using this and how it supports them and how it helps to ensure that their information and their privacy, quite frankly, are better protected. And at the same time, enable you to do that. And I do believe that biometrics does have some potential in doing that, both from an access control perspective as well as from a patient privacy perspective, because the better job we can do in uniquely identifying a patient before we access their information, the more likely we are to eliminate certain impermissible disclosures. The more accurate we are in identifying who it is that's accessing the information, again, the better our chances are of eliminating or reducing the chances for those impermissible disclosures. So I think these technologies, just like any other, if they're deployed properly, if they're utilized properly and explained properly to the patient, I think they can absolutely provide benefit and enhance security around the information.
Thank you for that insightful look at the issue on patient privacy, Mac. I appreciate that. And finally, we turn our attention to the topic of PHI applications and the increase in patient adoption of these platforms to better manage their health and aggregate all of their healthcare data in one location. I've seen reports that patient adoption rates of these patient portals are as low as 25%. My question for you, Mac, is do you feel that there will be a much higher adoption of PHI applications such as Microsoft Health Vault in the future, or are they just a fad, and do you see patients really moving to this approach to taking ownership of their own PHI?
You know, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that question. I guess the way that I can answer that question from what experience I have, and I guess seeing this with our clients across the country, is this. We do see patients utilizing patient portals provided by the hospitals. I think they have much more confidence in a portal that provides access to their information from the healthcare provider themselves than they do a personal health record or portal that is from some vendor that is not necessarily the caregiver. Now, I don't know that for a fact. I can't say that there's any evidence behind that in a sense, but it just seems to me that when you look at the trends in terms of where patient privacy and patient confidence is highest, it's highest with their provider. And so I think that patients will at some point adopt more and more responsibility for their medical information. I think they want that. I think they want to have more visibility into their medical record, and they certainly want it to be more portable. And so I think these patient portals that give patients this kind of access are going to increase. And certainly patient engagement is a priority in healthcare today. I mean, you know, it's one of the priorities that's incorporated into meaningful use. There is a big push to engage the patient and engage the patient in their health and in management of their health. And one of the ways to do that is to offer their ability to access their information and be a part of that process. And so these patient portals are very important for that purpose. And I know that, you know, every hospital we work with has a patient portal. So I don't see that as a trend that's going to diminish anytime soon.
Okay, thank you for the information on that question, Mac. I would like to take a moment and offer my thanks to Mac for spending time with M2SYS Healthcare Solutions on our podcast and offering his insight on the topic of healthcare data management. You can follow Mac on Twitter under the username @MMCMILLAN07. Thank you very much for your time today, Mac. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
This concludes our podcast for today. We hope that you enjoyed the topic and our guests, and encourage you to tune into future podcasts where we interview industry professionals on topics that relate to the healthcare industry. For a full list of all our podcasts, please visit our podcast page at M2SYS, that's m2sys.com/healthcare/healthcare-biometrics-podcast. See you on our next podcast.